Blog Talk Radio.
BlogTalkRadio.com, and I'm Alan.
This is Kevin. What's happening?
And this is Jen. What's up, everybody?
We're missing one person today.
Late. Why is he always late? You need to dock his pay. Like, he's late every week, and y'all get on to me all the time.
Well, y'all did say he was fashionably late since he even got a little fame behind him.
Oh, yeah, he's famous now.
Yeah.
So get the cape out when he comes in.
I made a friend they got on Facebook, like,
That cat got about 1 million fans already.
He should, though. He deserves it. He's great. So if y'all haven't, like, listened to his stuff out there, y'all check Nick Eden out. He's a great guy. Very talented.
Yeah, also check out our music show, Talk Down with Nick Eden, on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's pretty much our music show. So, Middleman Talk. Also have other avenues which we do as well. So, yeah, if y'all look for any type of research study, anything like that, y'all holler at Jen, man. Jen. Let Jen for that too, though.
Jen? Are y'all putting some kind of responsibility on me?
Jen, we're trying to get you some money.
Oh, yeah. I always like money. Money, 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 money.
Gee, what you got to
offer? Not much, man. Chilling right now, you know. Just ready to get into this conversation. Not much. Got a headache. Again.
I'm hot just thinking about today's topic. I mean, it's hot. I don't know if, like, where everybody else is at in the country, but it is hot. Hot in Georgia.
Oh. It's hot now.
See, get your mind out the gutter.
Okay, I was just trying to see now. You know, topic kind of fit what I thought you were talking about. Yeah. So, anyway.
Shout out. Can I say something really quick?
Go ahead.
Shout out to all of my friends who work for the government. I'm so sorry, guys, but you will be going to work on tomorrow.
Damn.
So sorry. I know a couple people were as disappointed that they had to, you know, clock in tomorrow, but you going to work. Y'all going.
Why are you going to mess up somebody Monday like that? Monday is a day you really hate going back to work.
I mean, I've heard the same thing. I mean, hey, you got to go now. Gotta go.
Y'all some haters.
I mean, I'm just like, man, why it takes so long? I mean, like, the last thing that they had to vote on that they couldn't agree with was abortion.
But no, really not abortion. Really, people try to narrow it down and say abortion, but it was about the funding for Planned Parenthood. And for you out there who are not familiar with Planned Parenthood, I personally have been to Planned Parenthood. I think it's a wonderful program that provides many services beyond abortion. They provide talks and information for young women. They provide contraceptives. They provide just regular gynecological OBGYN visits. You know, they provide, you know, abortions too. But, you know, they do a lot for women and they do a lot for communities. And to cut their federal funding because some people are against abortion, I just think it's wrong. And thank God that they agreed, you know, at least temporarily, that they weren't going to cut Planned Parenthood's funding.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of other programs got cut too. So, I mean, just have to wait and see what else is
you know, have with them. But
and for the next year, for the next year or so, we in our community, so, you know, everybody out there, you know, make sure you're reading your paper. Make sure you're up, you know, on it, what your senators and representatives and congresspeople, what they're doing when they are, you know, in legislation. You know, what are they voting for? Because, like, look at gas, guys. Like, I just bought gas and it was like $3.65 a gallon. Like, oh my God, like that's just out of this world. Like everything is about to become higher. You know, laws are changing. It's about to get like pretty ugly in America.
I don't think they're gonna do anything about gas. I mean, I think the biggest thing that like a lot of car makers are pushing is those fuel efficient cars. But I don't think they're gonna do anything about this gas price at all. I mean, I could just really see it going up to $4.
But look how long it would take to, like, I can't sell my car and go buy an electric car. Like, I can't do that. So how long
would it, and the average American can't either.
So, like, how long would it take to phase out cars? It took years to phase cars from diesel into unleaded.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I just don't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, you know, they're going to continue selling those cars and selling them at a, you know, high price, but once gas goes out, you know, then I guess they'll lower the price in the electric cars. But, I mean, I just don't see it happening right now.
Damn.
I really don't.
We should protest.
I really don't, so.
We should get some, like signs and protest or do something. Just have a sit-in. At the BP. Yeah.
Reverend Al Sharp.
Oh, huh? Reverend Al Sharp.
Yeah. Their own job.
He the right person for the job, man.
I don't know, player.
Shout out to Al Sharpton. You know, shout out to no disrespect. Shout out to you. Anyway.
And shout out to all the people who have sinus problems. The pollen is awful.
Well, since
like y'all
Kevin
shout
out
has
every,
a sinus.
All right.
Shout out everybody. Shout out everybody. Shout out to the people on the web chat over here. Everybody on the phone line. Everybody in Mars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, let them know what we're talking about. I guess Nick will pop up in the next hour or so.
What?
I said, I guess Nick will pop in the next hour or so.
Hey, you know what? We're going to do to Nick, man. We're going to take his mic, man, and unplug it and have him thinking he's actually on, but he's really not. Anyway, just tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show. Today's subject, sexual inhibitions of black women. I know y'all, black women, you know, some of y'all saw the topic, but the title of the topic and probably wondering what the hell the little men are talking about today. I'm going to tell you. Centuries ago, as slaves, black women and men were brutalized sexually. Men were castrated, the women were raped. So culturally, for black people, sex is a taboo for us. So, because of this taboo, did this create the sexual inhibitions in black people? Now, that explains stuff. Also, is this also a result of teen pregnancy or black teens? And are black men straying away from black women's sexual, because of black women's sexual inhibition? Excuse me. And also, are the sexual inhibitions of black women leading black men to search outside their race? And also going to be other questions in which we're going to pose as well, too. And if you have a question or if you have a comment that you want to discuss on today's show, make sure you press the number one on your phone. If you're on the phone line, we'll definitely get to you. If you're on the chat board, place your comments there. We'll definitely get to you on the chat board as well. If you're on any other means of contacting us, such as Facebook or Yahoo Messenger, or Twitter, you can also hit us up. We'll definitely get your comments there as well, too. But this is what we're going to discuss today. You know, Dan actually brought this topic to the table, and we found it very interesting. So we're going to try to get into this great discussion today. I know Jen has a lot to say about this particular topic. You know, of course, Kevin and I are always on the ground, yeah, something. But we're going to get into, you know, like I said, if you have a comment, you know, if you're on the phone line, make sure you press 1 so we can get to you now. So we definitely want to hear what you all got to think about this particular subject. So, Kevin, want to go ahead and get into our first break, our first song of the day?
Well, to all those that are new to the Middleman Talk Show, if you never listened to us before, we do appreciate you guys calling in. Before each topic, we do play a song that we think that may be related to the topic of the day. And I'm going to give y'all a warning today. I didn't have nothing to do with this. I didn't pick one song today. So after this song, and while this song is going on, we're going to go directly to the topic after the song, and while the song is playing, you guys get your thoughts together. Because when we come in, we coming in slapping all that good stuff. We doing it. So this is the first record of the day right here. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Adina Howard, Freak Like
Yay.
Me. I know some of these women out here are going to be going.
That's my song, y'all.
Blog Talk Radio. Adina Howard with Freak With Me, 1995. Man, oh, God, did we go back with that one, Gina?
I know, right? That, like, brought, like, bad memories.
And, you know, she used to be a real, real great artist. I guess she had show, you know, she had good showmanship, you know what I'm saying? But, what do you think about that? I know you love that record.
I love it. I love it. It makes me think of the eighth grade. Like, that song came out when I was in the eighth grade. Can you believe that?
Telling your age, Blair. Hey, we want to appreciate everybody that's on the web chat again. Thank you, everyone that's listening to the Middleman Talk Show today. Hey, one thing I want to say right here. Y'all check this out. Oh, well, don't worry about that. We got to have something happen over here. This ain't right. But, hey, I'll go ahead and let everybody know what we're talking about. Oh, God.
Well, if you just got to and to the Middleman Show, we are talking about the sexual inhibitions of Black women. And pretty much we're going to, you know, to start off talking about the taboo aspect of it. For centuries, you know, of course, as slaves, Black women and men were brutalized sexually, you know, in front of each other. The men were castrated, the women were raped, you know, and culturally for Black people, sex is a taboo. So because of this taboo, did this create the sexual inhibitions in Black people? Also, is that the reason for teen pregnancy, as far as for Black teens? And, you know, another question which we're going to get to, you know, on the second half of the show is, are black men straying away because of black women's sexual inhibition? And also, are the inhibitions of black women leading black men to, you know, search outside their race? And we definitely want to get to all those questions. And if you have something that you want to ask us, you know, if you're on the phone line, press 1. We'll definitely get to it. If you're on the chat board, we'll definitely take your response and communicate those for you as well. But we're going to start off with, you know, the cultural standpoint as far as, you know, what we went through as far as being slaves and being brutalized as men and women, you know, as far as being castrated and raped and, you know, beat in front of our women, and our women were taken from us by, you know, slave owners and things of that nature, and, you know, brutalized in that manner. You know, did this, do you all feel that that is a contributing factor that just trembled on down from generation to generation to generation?
Hey, before y'all really get into that right then, Jen, I know you're about to go hard. We do have someone on the web chat, Sir Cherry, would like for you to explain or define your meaning of inhibition. So they want to make sure and see what you guys are really talking about when you use that word.
Well, I'll explain. Like, this whole topic today, it came from, you know, one of my, me and my girlfriends were, you know, sitting around, we're chatting, and we're talking about black women, and a lot of black women, you know, publicly hold back. You know, I don't know in the bedroom, because I didn't in the bedroom with a whole lot of black women, but I know, like, from talks and, like, you know, from just being around other black women, a lot of black women are, I should say, suppressed sexually. You know, they don't like to, you know, experiment, like, different things sexually in the bed. They don't like to, you know, certain, I say, acts, sexual acts, especially, like, oral sex has been, like, you know, a big no-no, like, you know, when black women are, like, only in recent years, you know, I've even seen black women admitting to, you know, doing oral sex. And it's the same thing for men. A lot of, you know, it's a stereotype that black men don't, you know, give oral sex to women, which is just totally
wrong.
They lying. Yeah, they lying. And so, you know, like, you know, that's what I mean by inhibition. Like, a lot of, you know, black women don't publicly go to sex shops. You know, you go to sex shops, I don't see a whole lot of black people in there. You know, like, that's what we mean by inhibitions. Like, you know, the unwillingness to explore your sexuality and to be free and open and to talk about it.
Girl, what you doing in the sex shop?
That's nasty.
Man, we grown.
You know, you
but you know
there.
What? But honestly, though, the reason I say it like that is because honestly, that's the reaction that a lot of people have when you say things like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I go
and
through. I ain't gonna lie.
It's a shame because it's just like, okay, first off, let's be real about it. A lot of people are lying when they say they don't do this and they don't do that. For the ones that are serious, like I just got into a discussion with a young lady about this on Facebook last week, where she was just saying that in her relationship, oral sex is not an option. It's a no-no. And I'm like, they stop making you when they stop making the Betamax. It just doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. And it's like,
it
how
is,
can
and
you...
I... Oh, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, how can you honestly expect that you, one, going into a relationship saying what you're not going to do is already setting yourself up a little bit for a kill.
Well, hey, guys, we do have someone that would like to comment and get into this conversation. We're going to go ahead and bring them in, okay?
Hey.
All right, this first caller is calling from Skype. We don't have your name on here, so we're calling the caller from Skype. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
I didn't even realize I hit the one.
Oh, you didn't want to say anything.
I mean, I have different you know, views on certain things that were said, but
okay.
I mean, I'll comment now. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. What would be your comments?
Well, as far as, you know, because as far as the things that you hear about the black community, it's like, you know, either on the other side you hear that, you know, black women dress too, you know, are too promiscuous and they dress too sexual on the other end, and now this is the first time I hear that they're not sexual or sexually open. So it's like from either one extreme to the next. We have to be labeled as something. No other woman has to deal with, from any other culture has to deal with that. Or we do this, or we do that. No other culture of women really has to go through those type of things, even though they may be the obvious. Nobody really comments on that. And it's like, you know, you can't really satisfy as far as when it comes to the black community, because either you're too promiscuous, you're too sexually open. They complain about girls wearing booty shorts, and then on the other side, it's like, well, we're not sexual enough. It's just confusing.
Well, can I agree with you? Go ahead.
I agree with you to an extent, but honestly, in terms of major culture, well, in terms of black and white women do get stereotypes too. One, white women are automatically get a stereotype of them being good at giving oral sex, or them, like, that's the first thing, that's what they're all about, particularly when it comes to dealing with black men. I've known plenty of black guys that when they see a white girl, they're like, I went to a black college. And any white girl that went to that school, they automatically thought, oh, she's giving oral sex.
But it's not something that really, really follows them, if you get what I'm saying. Like, that you can listen to. Go ahead.
Oh, can I say this? I think this goes into, like, our first question of the day. There's a difference between promiscuity and being sexual. You know, just because I'm comfortable in my sexuality, I'm comfortable, you know, about sex and the way I feel about sex, doesn't make me promiscuous. And I think that the line is skewed a lot of times, you know, in the black community. If you like sex, if you're comfortable with sex, if you're, you know, outgoing towards it, or like certain things, that equates you to a whore or promiscuous. And I just don't believe that's true.
And I will agree with you 200%. I agree with you that, I mean, and it's just nothing more than a gossip factor as far as in the black community. I mean, I think that in most communities, you can think back to a few girls who were labeled whores, and nobody really knew the reason why they got labeled whores. It was just something that was said about them, and they could have just very well possibly hooked up with one guy, or one boyfriend got mad and said that, and it sticks with them for a lifetime.
I'll say this much. I do think that there's a line that is slightly blurred between promiscuity and sexual openness. And when I say what I mean, that is, you're right, that a lot of times women may get labeled as being promiscuous. But I think in the difference in what we're talking about today is, I guess the easiest way to kind of simplify it is will versus skill. You might be willing to do something, but you might not necessarily be able to do it. You may be willing to have sex, but you might not be open to oral sex. So you may have a bunch of regular intercourse, but you might say, no, I don't do oral, or for those who are into it, anal, or for anything like that. You get what I'm saying? I think it's more of a, we're trying to figure out what exactly makes people seem, or what makes them so sexually refreshed in the type of things that they do in the bedroom.
So, caller, do you have an opinion about, like, why, you know, sex is such a taboo amongst, you know, African American people?
I mean, sex is such a taboo when it comes to society. It has the contradicting. Unfortunately, our community, as far as what we think and how we feel about certain things, we don't stop to come up with our own. We follow behind everybody else in this society. As far as society in general, it has a contradicting attitude towards sex. In other words, I can turn on regular TV and see sex in commercials. I can listen to it in music, you know, whatever, and then they'll turn around and act like it's something that's terrible. You know, it's just a contradicting thing within society, and unfortunately our community follows everything that we're told instead of coming up with our own identity. I guess that goes back to slavery. We still have not identified ourselves as who we are, and, you know, what we feel comfortable with. We're following behind other people's morals that make absolutely no sense. You know, our politicians set up and they get these fake marriages, and they act like they're so wholesome, and then they're, you know, doing God knows what with hookers or other men or
and
other women.
In the bathroom at the airport, stripping their foot.
But instead of doing all of that, instead of putting up this facade, just be out in the open, like, with who and what you are, instead of getting caught up. And even ordinary, everyday people find themselves in the same predicament.
And historically, some of the steamiest, hottest, sexiest, you know, love stories and you know, sex, you know, stories are from, you know, black people and African people, you know, even dating back towards Egyptians. And I think, you know, over the, you know, slavery had a big part of, I think, breaking us down where we feel insecure, or a lot of people feel insecure about their sexuality.
It's not even about insecure, but that people, a lot of people don't understand what sexuality is. They don't understand that. That's the main issue and the problem. You have to understand, when slavery, the women were breeders and the guys were studs. If you look at society as far as the black community as a whole, the men are still doing the same thing. They have a stud mentality, reproduce, and don't really, most of the time, don't even want a child. And the women, I mean, are just, you know, submit to whatever when it comes to their bodies usually. So, I mean, it's a mentality that still has carried over, but now we act it out on our own. I won't blame everything on slavery, because we make a conscious decision to continue to do and have the same mentality that was beaten to us, literally.
That's a great point, right
there.
Yeah. I'll say this.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that we also have to look at the outside influences, just like the young lady was saying and Jim was saying. If you look at a company like Viacom, who owns both MTV and BET, now, anybody who's seen a Lady Gaga video has seen her pretty much almost naked, wearing as much as maybe a fishnet or something like that. But then Viacom turns around and they ban a Rihanna video or a Nicki Minaj video or a Sierra video. But it's okay if Lady Gaga does it. It's okay if Lady Gaga shows up to an award show naked, but if Nicki Minaj shows up to an award show or a video shoot with booty shorts on, all of a sudden it's banned. It can't be shown on television. It's a problem.
We're defining what is okay and what's right. Like, I have, you know, a friend out there. I hope she's listening. Her name is Tamika Shields, www.tamikashields.pureromance.com. She sells, like, Pure Romance, which is sex toys and sexual products. And she sells to a lot of black women. Black women are sexual. They are, you know, using sex products. But we just aren't open about it, and we should not accept
if we're open about it, then we all know what happens in the community if you're open about it. We all know what happens in the community. Even if you're like, I use this on myself, this is for me, you're still automatically, you have this tag on you from that point on. They can't be open about stuff like that. Maybe in other cultures, yes, but they cannot do that. And as far as like the music...
Go ahead. I want you to finish.
As far as the industry is like pretty weird. I mean, BET banned. We've been looking at black booties on BET since what, the 90s? Late 90s,
yeah.
Early 2000s. We've been looking at Uncut After Midnight, and then all of a sudden they turn around and want to ban Sierra. See, that's for a little video where she was just grinding, not even doing anything too over the top. It's a contradiction. People pick and choose, because if you don't pick and choose, then if you got a problem with one side, then you're going to have a problem, say, with Beyonce, who obviously sells sex. But that's another one that nobody even discusses, about the fact that she sells sex. A lot of these artists, period, sell sex.
Well, Beyonce, she'll shut the lights out in there at BET, so they ain't gonna mess with her.
Exactly. Do you see the game? You see how it is, like, as far as who they decide that they want to pick on. I mean, Little Kim, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Lady Gaga, because Little Kim went to an award, what is it, MTV, with her whole breast out. Nothing compares.
Right.
They pick and choose who they want to go after for whatever reason. And unfortunately, I hear people say that they have a problem with hip hop, but then once again, because of, you know, the exploitation of women, and then, you know, are such Beyonce fans. Well, she exploits herself. I mean, that's her choice. But at the end of the day, she's not. You get what
I got.
It's such a thin line between the two. People are picking and choosing. Oh, that's not okay, but it's okay when it's over here. No,
it has
to be a problem all the way around. Or it's not a problem at all, and just shut your face.
I
want to take a couple of steps back. When you guys are saying that, you know, black women are not as open, I want you guys to define open, because the things that you do in your bedroom, it ain't everybody's business, but I mean, amongst adults, it's okay to talk about it.
This is the thing.
Is it okay to talk about it? I mean,
it's okay to talk about it if you're around people you trust.
One at a time, please. One at a time, please.
It's okay to talk about it. I mean, adult conversation is adult conversation, but the thing is, the label that's going to be pinned on you, even to the people who are participating in a certain conversation. You see, like, the number one thing that our problem is we don't know how to keep our mouth shut. When we feel as though we have some juicy detail on somebody, no matter how petty it is, no matter how childish it may be, no matter how little it may be, we have to run with that. And that's the number one problem why everybody is so closed in.
I think
there's a lot of people in the closet for that same reason, because it's going to be talked about. And that's as far as STDs, that's exactly what's killing the black community, is the fact that people can't feel as though they can be open about what it is they really like. They have to put up this facade.
Right. And a lot of times, I think it comes from when we talk about the closed-mindedness. If I have a conversation with a girlfriend and I say, you know, what's the taboo? I say, like, I like anal sex, or I like oral sex, or anything to that matter. And then I tell a girlfriend and she tells someone else and it comes back to me. And next thing you know, like our caller said, I'm labeled something that I'm not. It's just that, you know, we equate sex to badness. And I don't understand why.
Religion. Religion is a major thing.
The black church thing.
Yes. A big problem of stupid and stupidity and delusional thinking. Most black churches don't even discuss AIDS. They don't touch anything that has directly to, all they teach is sex is bad. But everybody
which is not in the
congregation.
Which is not embraced of what's going on in society. I do not believe, you know, you should go out there and tell kids to have sex, but I think we also, you know, especially in the black community, with AIDS being one of the number one killers of black women, with our teen pregnancy rates, you know, as high as ever, we need, as black people, to learn how to have discussions about sex without being afraid and about equating it to being bad.
Very true. There's a time and a place for it. Have you got a thought over there?
I mean, well, you know, dealing with that as far as with the church, of course, a lot of churches do not bring this up in church. You know, I mean, and that will probably be the most appropriate place to discuss it, because, I mean, you will want to discuss it in a neutral setting where of course, you know, you're learning, you know, from something that you believe in, you know, and also, you know, you're there together as a congregation under, you know, one roof, believing in one thing. You know, trying to move forward, you know, in a positive way. So, I mean, talking about it in a positive way could be a good way to teach people. But we also got to look at the teachings that we're not doing as far as to our children. You know, that, you know, because we're leaving them out, and they're going out there investigating on their own. And you know, that leads to like our second question, as far as, you know, is you know, the taboo a result of black teen pregnancy? And, you know, of course, on one of our previous shows, we had a little clip from a school up in Memphis that had 90 girls that were either pregnant, had a child, or, you know, about to have one in general. And, you know, do you all feel that is a cause for that?
I can tell you what it is, to be honest. We don't talk about, it's just like you said, we don't talk about sex in a structured setting. And there's a time for it. The time is not when you are an adult and out in the world. The time is when you are a child. You need, like, honestly, we, I don't know, for our generation, a lot of the adults will say, that's grown folk stuff. Or you learn about that when you're grown. Or you need to do that when you're married, which in theory is right. But the likelihood that somebody is going to wait till marriage these days is very slim. And these kids need to be educated and sex. Because if they don't know, they're going to go out and learn on their own.
Right, and kids reach puberty, you know, we all know, between the ages from 11 to 13, you know, they start getting those urges and feelings. And when they start getting those urges and feelings, we need to let them know what them urges and feelings mean. You know, not, you know, all out, but we need to let them know that this is your, you know, or this is one of your reproductive organs, you know, this is what you're going through, this is what it's going to look like over the next couple of years. You know, if you have any questions about this and that, you can come to me, you know, because... Like, a lot of kids don't do that, because we have kids that are getting pregnant at age 11, you know, 12, 13,
something?
You know? Yeah, go ahead.
As far as, like, I get so discouraged with the teen pregnancy talk because it's like it's nothing new. And it seems
right.
as though sometimes we're trying to live to other people's standards as to, oh, that's wrong. That's something. And we literally shame these kids, and specifically the girls, because they're the ones that can carry. But, you know,
right.
we shame them, and it's like it's nothing new. And it's nothing that's
right.
that's not happening in any other culture. And majority of the times, and here's another thing that we fail to address, a lot of these little girls are pregnant by grown men.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are pregnant by grown
yep,
men,
exactly right.
and they were involved in something that they had no clue about, and they still don't know
right.
even after they had the baby. They still are not
right.
aware of how they were taken advantage of. So, and I mean, and as far as, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I really don't get into it because it's like, I mean, look at centuries, like 100 years ago, like that was common. Now all
yeah.
of a sudden,
yeah.
we're, now it's something now, it's, oh my God, look at her. And then on top of that, we
Let's
put
see.
Shame. We do more damage
right.
than good. We got to look at her and say, look at that. But nobody is talking about, well, how could we as a community permit this if it's so wrong? We just want to look at something that's easy and turn our nose up at it.
Right.
Okay,
now,
hey,
now,
we got another caller. We got another caller that would like to get in this conversation. Caller that's on the line. We didn't catch your name.
Oh, my name? I'm sorry, Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah. Okay. Hey,
yeah.
Sarah, we appreciate it. If you would like to get back in this conversation, please press that number one again. We're going to go ahead and clear you out. Okay?
Not a problem.
All right. Thank you. All right. Caller 414-578. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show. Excuse me, y'all.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. I just had a comment right quick.
Okay.
Just,
go ahead.
Because I just tuned in. I was listening to the last caller. And the thing about it is there was a time when the black people in the black community did have shame, you know, and young girls who got pregnant were shipped away or the child became a sister or cousin or something of that nature. But, you know, as has been stated since I've been listening, is that this is something that has been happening since people been on the planet. You know, people get pregnant, women get pregnant, you know, regardless of age. And in some instances, I would say that the determinant for the a pregnancy is not so much as age, it's determined as whether you're prepared to be a mother. So you have some young women who are more prepared than others at a younger age than others. However, I do believe that there is a stereotype of teenage pregnancy, an overwrought of teenage pregnancy in the black community. And, of course, this gets grant dollars and programs and things like that. You know, it's a job creation program, in my opinion, that the propaganda for this has been, you know, so vast, as well as the placement of all of these facilities like Planned Parenthood facilities in the black community specifically. So these things are done, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist per se, but I do recognize that there is some sort of plan, and that plan, I think, is geared towards job creation for people who have these different programs and things that supposedly created to combat these problems that never get solved because it's part of the nature of the human being to, first of all, have sex. And secondarily, to have children. So, you know, all of that, in my opinion, is propaganda. But when it comes to what is, you know, proper, that depends on the culture that you're in, you know. And in this specific
right.
culture, it says that, you know, to have discussion, because and it's basically all theological in nature.
Right.
And so to say that, well, you know, we need to have conversation about sex. And I heard one sister say something about anal sex. And anal sex is not a norm in our culture. So, of course, you know, a place where a penis isn't normally to go, there would be some trepidation, you know,
well,
in
you
having
know, like,
a discussion about that. You know what
anal,
I'm saying? I mean,
anal sex has always been around. Like, it's always
no,
been
No, I ain't saying nothing about it being around. I'm saying about it being part of the cultural norm. That's what I'm talking about. Because normally you do not put a penis in an anus. Anus is the excrete feces out of your body. That's what it's normal. That's what it's designed for. And so when you change the equation and want to use it as a sexual object, then of course you're going to get eyebrows raised because it's not the normal function of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you have begin to have conversation like that in this culture that does not support that, then you can expect you know, it not to be so open, you know, because everybody's not open-minded in the society as much as we would like people to be. It's just not like that.
Very true.
Well, can I say this? I think that, you know, for us, we think that, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not the defender of, you know, anal sex or anything, but, you know.
You know,
like, I just want to say I know people, like lots of people that have anal sex, been having anal sex for years, and I'm sure thousands of years ago someone had anal sex because you have sexual, like if you read a biology book, you have, you know, sexual nerves in your anus. So, you know.
No, it ain't sexual nerves. It's just nerves. They're not sexual nerves. Those are just
nerves. You have a G-spot in your anus. You have a G-spot in your anus. That's why
men G-spot on your neck. You got a G-spot behind your knee. You got G-spots all over your body, but that don't mean you got to use all of them, particularly those that are not culturally normal.
Like, if that doesn't float your boat, like, I think the point is, if that doesn't float your boat, then that's fine. But for those who it does float their boat, they shouldn't, you know, be made to feel bad about it
But they will in this culture. That's what I'm saying. When you bring up something that's out of the norm, in, you know, into the equation, then you can expect that people are not going to kowtow to your whims and fantasies simply because you wish them to. They're not going to do that. And that's why I brought it up. Go ahead, honestly and truly,
yeah, it may not be quote-unquote a normal part of the culture, but it needs to be paid attention to, because I can tell you right now, they have instances in that kids in the fourth and fifth grade are having oral and anal sex so that they can claim that they're still virgins and don't have to worry about getting pregnant.
So do you tell them it's correct or incorrect, or what do you say to them?
What you need to do is you need to address it. You need to bring it up right now. Nobody is addressing it to these kids. They're learning it on their own, and that's why you have so many problems now, because nobody is addressing it. I don't care how you address it, but address it.
Oral and anal sex are sex. Like, you know, a lot of young kids don't consider it as sex. It is sex, whether you don't like it or not.
10-year-old.
I mean, do you really honestly believe that they don't consider that as sex?
Yeah, a lot of kids, they consider themselves as virgins.
Okay,
like
yeah, they're having oral sex.
Right.
Hey, y'all, hold up 1 second. Hold up. We're going to take you out for a second. We got a caller that's been waiting on this line for a while.
Okay.
But if you want to get back in, go ahead and press 1, okay? Don't hang up.
All right. We'll do.
Caller 404-838, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Hey, girl.
Hey, Tamika.
Hey. Oh, what's up, man?
I'm great. I had to comment, and yes, I do sell sex toys, and black women do want it. They don't want to pretend. They want to pretend like they don't want it, and everything has to be on the secret because our society, that's why we've gotten away with child molestation, pedophilia, all of that. Because we are doing it. We're doing it, and trust me, I get the check every month that we're doing it. So I'll go to a huge event, and all the white women and whatever other culture, they'll be upfront about it because they know why I'm there. But as soon as everything's dying off, or they sneak by and get my card, or shoot me their number, can I call them? It's like, be adult about yours. I sell to a lot of married couples. Why be ashamed? That's what you do, and you're behind your closed doors. It's your business. It's not my problem, and no one else's. So we are doing it. It's just that we allow society to just nurture everything about us. We have to follow this stereotype or that stereotype, but people are people, and yes, we do anal. Yes.
Yeah, but one thing I wanted to say also, with listening to the conversation that the last caller was talking about, I think one thing that we don't realize is we are leading to the repression of bisexual tendencies because we don't talk about it. You know,
right.
If we can, I mean, everybody on this phone, I hope you're an adult. You know, I mean, we could talk amongst each other about these things. Now, I know y'all were saying don't get your business out there in the street or whatnot, but
right.
I'm like, man, if you know, I ain't going to talk to my homeboy about everything, but if I could talk to my woman about everything, or we can discuss these things, some things that I like, some things she like, then let's go forward. Because, you know, I mean, you may not have learned that in your household, and I may not have learned this in my household, but yet and still, as we mature and grow together, we should be able to express it in whatever means we want to.
And not feel guilty about it.
Feel guilty about
it. You're absolutely right. And I think what Mika said was right on the money when she said that because we don't talk about it, that we do let things like molestation, pedophilia, we let those things slip by because sex is so taboo within our culture that we just sweep it under the rug. Somebody knows at least one person in somebody's family who's got an uncle that molests kids. Stay away from Uncle Elroy.
Yeah, that's true.
And let them kids around Uncle Elroy at the family reunion. We sweep it under the rug. No, put Uncle Elroy's ass in jail.
We're going to bring in that caller. We're going to bring that caller back in. Y'all hold 1 second, okay? That caller. Caller 414-578. Get back live on the Middleman Talk Show.
All right. I just wanted to say that I think that it's not that we feel sex is taboo. It's that we feel that sex is personal and private. And when you want to take your sexual practices to the public arena, which I'm getting the impression that's what the desire is, that we can have these open discussions about sex, that's when all the trepidation comes up, all the, you know, the hidden anxieties about what people are going to think of you because of what you like to do. So I think that when you put your stuff out there in the public that, you know, is generally a private matter between you and your partner, that, you know, then you have, you open up the doors for other people's opinions, not only of what you do, but of you as well. And so sometimes you got to take that lump if you just want to be, you know, talk about your shit out loud. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't talk to everybody about it. I'm just saying there are certain people that I will discuss certain things with, but not everything. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay. Right. Well, you keep some things close and personal. Am I correct or incorrect? You don't just,
exactly.
You know,
I feel I feel like I'm not saying that, you know, you have inhibitions if you don't raise a banner, you know, saying I like to, you know, suck on whatever. But, you know, what I'm saying is, like, don't be ashamed if you do. Like, don't be ashamed to go to a sex party. Don't be ashamed to, you know, embrace that I like this or, you know, I'm okay. You know, I say all the time, the difference between African-American women and I say Caucasian women is, like, we don't date. I like to date. I like to go out with different people. And a lot of people equate that with promiscuity, but we should be open and willing to be comfortable in our own skin.
Well, is dating synonymous with having sex?
No, it's not. And I think a lot of times in our community, we view it as if she dates a lot of guys, she's having sex.
Right. Right, that's true.
We got a question from the chat. This is from Sir Cherry, and they wanted to know, what if the woman's first sexual experience was a horrific one, like a molestation by a family member?
Then you need counseling, because sex is not the problem. You have an issue, a horrific issue that you need to address, you know, through a counselor or a church member or somebody in your life that can guide you to help you get over your, you know, equating your bad experience with sex.
But some people can't get over it. I mean, like, it's
and
like
that's
certain
horrific.
Things reminds them of that person.
Well, that's, you know, being one who has been molested as a child, you know, I had that experience. I think that it basically comes down to the point of me, you know, and how I deal with the subject matter, because I think a lot of times we function on shame, as though even though you're a victim, you feel this tremendous amount of shame. And so that shame causes you to have all types of psychological problems, and you blame yourself for the event taking place, even though you had no control. So it's going to always, even though you go to a counselor,
Do you feel that person can never have a healthy sex life?
If they want to. See, it's all up to them. It's all up to them and how they deal with the incident. Because some people hold on to a traumatic incident like a blanket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's warm and fuzzy, even though it's a terrible experience. You know, it's comfortable because, you know,
they know
about it. Right. They know it and they feel sorry, you know, that for themselves that it happened. But they still carry this tremendous blame about it and shame about it, which, you know, is in my opinion, is detrimental when people cannot talk about things that happened to them. And I'm talking of black people and, you know, enslavement of black people. We still carry shame of that. So, you know, we carry these subconscious instances of shame that I think can only be addressed by the individual. You know what I mean? But I think having discussions like these are very therapeutic for people. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't make commentary or comment, they do have another train of thought to think about their situation or, you know, what's going on with them, so they can have a healthy relationship in life. Because it can be devastating if you don't address it.
Hello, Jane. We got another caller. Caller 414, we thank you for calling in. Okay, thank you. I got a show to do. Y'all take care. Okay, what's your show? Give a plug on your show. Oh, I'm Queenie Farmer, the Truth Terrorist. I'm on at 6 o'clock. Okay, what's up, man? Well, hey, what's up? Shout out sometime. Okay, all right then, baby. All right, peace. All right, caller 917, you are live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's happening? Hi, good evening. How you all doing? This is Marva from Texas. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Marva.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Pretty good.
I'm so glad you called in for this one.
Why, Jen? Why?
Because you always have a fabulous opinion about things like this. So I hope you've been listening.
I have been listening. I hate that I called in late, but as far as sexual taboos among black women, I'm just going to say this. Especially, and I'm speaking for the women that are grown, no, there are none. I mean, we basically have that, been there, done that type of attitude, and I think we're more open-minded, we're more willing to try new things, and I would say this, if anything, we come across black men that are more inhibited as far as where they don't want to try things. So,
I think that's true, Marva. I think that's true.
I know it is.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you know, a lot of black men, you know, in the privacy of your bedroom are scared of a lot of things.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, like some of the stuff you were talking about a while ago. Ain't nobody trying to try that.
What did she say? She said no penis in the anus?
Exactly.
You know, don't knock it till you try it.
Okay, don't knock it till you try it.
Look, I'm not being funny, and no disrespect to anybody that does that. I just can't see myself doing it because I feel like I'm already going into a shitty situation.
Because a lot of black men, let me say this, and to our guys on the Middleman Show, a lot of black men are homophobic, and they equate some sexual experiences in the bedroom with being gay, and they won't try things because they think that makes them gay.
No, I think it's, I'm sorry, it's more of an issue of being sanitary. Like, it might seem cool on the videos, but they go through about 3 hours of enemas before they go into that activity. You get what I'm saying? It's more of it's more of a health kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, y'all crazy. Hey, Marvin, hold on. We got a caller that we're gonna bring this caller in right here. They've been waiting for a while. Caller that was calling from Skype. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
I wanted to comment. No, you're fine. I wanted to comment on the I believe she was the second caller. When she had commented on teen pregnancy, and she said, you know, we had shame. You know, they would go down south, and the baby would come back up and be, you know, the grandmother's or the mother's baby. And that, to me, it says a lot about the issues. And then on the other hand, when it came to something else, she was like, well, there is no shame as far as with the victims. Overall, I think that you should just be who you are. As far as the community, everybody is afraid to be who they are, period. You know, if your child had a baby at 16, to the rest of the world, screw you. We're going to take care of the situation. Do you get what I'm saying? And as far as being victimized, as far as, like they mentioned before, as far as being sexually victimized, it's like it happens to me. Most of the time that shame comes from the people within your inner circle, the reason why you feel ashamed. So if people said, you know what, this is what happened, screw everybody else, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, we're going to press charges. Most sexual offenders in the black community never even see a day in court because of the key term shame. So that, and shame wasn't something we came over with. Shame was something that was put on us. You were supposed to be ashamed of your hair. You were supposed to be ashamed of your nose, your skin color. And that still is prevalent today. That key word shame is something that the main reason why things are the way they are as far as the community is people just learn how to be them. That's the reason why we go out and spend all we have on clothes, on cars, on things that we know we can't afford because you're trying to fit in. So you just sort of, because if you're an outcast, that means you're ashamed of who you are.
And I think as far as molestation is a violent, cruel act, and is not sex. And I think a lot of victims, if you are out there, you have to, you know, see the difference in that violent, malicious, cruel act in sex, and they are not one and the same.
And even with that, there's a sense of insensitivity about the matter. I mean, I've spoken with people, I mean, it is so common, it's unbelievable. I've spoken to so many people that have been molested, and it's like it comes out in different ways. That's why it's not just one set solution to the problem, because that type of thing affects everybody so differently. Some girls, it turns around and makes them promiscuous. And then we have a community that, if they're that way, that's going to scrutinize them and basically abolish them because of the way they are and the way that they can't really help.
Right.
It's not as easy for those people. So it's a screwed up situation in the community either way. If you were victimized and you do turn out a certain type of way, you're going to be, nobody can understand the way you are, even though it's obvious the way you are. They're going to scrutinize you for it.
Well,
very,
yeah.
Very true. Very
good comment.
True.
Good comment. Good comment. We're going to move on to our next question. We appreciate those comments that we had. But I know you all have some comments and questions about this next question. Are black men straying away from black women due to their sexual inhibitions as far as things that they will not do in the bedroom or with their black men, you know, within their own confines? I mean, do you all feel that that's a big issue towards black men with our black women?
Marv, you still on the line? Because I know you just said something about that.
Okay, I was like, do I need to press one and then press one again?
Go ahead.
You know, I think so. I think you're correct somewhat. I think so. Because, as I said before, it just seems as though there are some black men out there. It's like, you know, I hate to use this term, but they're like strictly missionary, you know, and it's like, they come across a sister that, you know, wants to go beyond that, explore other things. For some reason, at times, I believe they feel threatened. And
I do too.
And the thing is, too, it's like, I believe with some, not all, because, you know, I don't believe in blanket statements, but I believe in some instances as well, they don't like the fact that, you know, black women are taking some control in the bedroom. You know, they're not completely submissive all the time. And I think they feel threatened by that as well.
Okay. We got another caller that want to get in.
Gary Schultz. We're going to let Gary Schultz in. Gary, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Gary?
Doing good. How you?
Not much. I'm just calling for a little bit of advice.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
Say it again,
Gary.
I think my girlfriend may be cheating on me, but I'm not sure. So I want to run this by you and see what you guys thought.
So you think your girlfriend may be cheating on you?
I think so.
Okay, run it, Gary.
Well, she comes back really late at night a lot of times. You know, she says she's working, but, you know, Bars get out at 2, not at, you know, 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, her work's right down the street, so, you know, it's not like she doesn't even drive to work. You know, she just walks there.
Are you a paranoid
person,
Gary?
No, I wouldn't consider myself very paranoid.
Well, then if you're not a paranoid and you're truthful about that, then I would go with my gut feeling. If your gut tells you she's cheating, then 9 times out of 10, she probably is.
And you have to look at, you know, her change in behavior too, Gary. You know, if she's been, you know, different one way, you know, one day, and then different, you know, at night when she comes on. I mean, you could tell a person's behavior. I mean, you know, we see it all the time. you know, on TV. I mean, that's somewhat real life too. I mean, you can also look at, you know, the clothes that she wear, and I mean, if you just really just want to be an investigator, smell them, you know, see if she got some men cologne on.
Hey, man,
don't do that, Gary. Don't do that.
Hey,
you might get
it. Being real.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man.
Being real.
All right, let's go on back to that next question, y'all. I'm just scouting over here right quick. Y'all keep going there. All right. Next question.
Oh, Lord, I'm glad I didn't comment on that. Oh, we.
Go ahead, Al.
Now,
let's keep it moving.
Are the inhibitions of black women leading black men to search outside their race to receive those things in which they feel that they're not getting in the bedroom?
I don't know. Ask Gary.
That's wrong. Oh, you needed help. Hey,
wow. Oh, I hope another guy. Is there a guy out there that wants to comment? I want to hear from a guy. We've been hearing from a lot of women today. Like, do guys out there, you know, especially black men, if there's a black man out there, please comment. Do you feel that, you know, black women have some inhibitions in the bedroom? Or let's hear from a woman who has an experience where, you know, her man was inhibited, saying it wrong, tongue-tied, in the bedroom. And a lot of times where black women, now I see black women are embracing bisexuality. You know, are men afraid of that? Let's hear from our people. What do y'all think?
Bisexuality, black women. I don't know. Marvin, you just had something interesting on your show, and we were just talking about that a couple of days ago. About those gay rappers. And I asked y'all a question.
Is there room for homosexuality in the world of hip-hop?
Exactly. And I posed a question, like Al posed the question before. If all men were gay, what would you do? And I'm going to tell y'all like this. If all women were gay, man, we'd probably be some happy brothers out there, and there'd be some brothers like, oh, no, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I think a lot of people
question.
Are more bisexual than what we think. I really don't.
But it's not a here nor there. We're talking about strength.
Keep it straight.
I mean, seriously, I think it goes back to what the first caller was saying, in the fact that a lot of times that we as a culture in certain things, especially when it comes to sex, we kind of lag. If you remember, just in the 80s, it was taboo to be bisexual or to, you know, or you remember AIDS used to be called GRIDS, Gay-Related Immune Deficiency Syndrome. You get what I'm saying? So it's just like, first it started with, you know, the women in the rock videos kissing each other. And then, you know, you had the things on HBO, and it just kind of went. And then all of a sudden it was socially acceptable for white women to be bisexual. Then black women. And then now, seemingly lately, white men is becoming, you know, with all the TV shows and everything. It's a lagging effect, but it still comes down to it is that your identity. At the end of the day, it's about the individual, and to relate that to what we're talking about in terms of black men straying to white women, I don't necessarily think that sex is the reason that a lot of them are straying. One, you got to look at this. Some people that just, they're not colorbound. Some people are just flat out not colorbound. They don't care, but they care more about the love than they care about the color of the person who's loving.
So you mean to tell me that, hold on, Nick. So you mean to tell me that after Kim Kardashian did that sex tape that Reggie Bush did not want her after that?
I think every man wanted her after she did that tape. Because, I mean, the way she took down that
tape.
Oh, hold up.
I'm
just saying. Right there. We have
another
call. Marv, if you want to get back in, press that one, okay?
Where she took that boy down.
I said, Marv, if you want to get back in, just press that one again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Caller 402, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Hello, greetings. How are y'all?
All right, what's good, brother?
Oh, still learning, brother. Still learning.
All right, where's it coming?
No, the sister was asking a question, and I wanted her to repeat the question so I could answer it.
Okay. Which one?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
Yes, I believe it was you, ma'am.
Yeah, and I said that, you know, as a black man, do you feel like either do you feel that a lot of black women that, you know, you've encountered sexually, you know, are inhibited in the bedroom? Or do you find yourself inhibited, you know, versus a black woman who, you know, may be more openly sexual? Do you find that, like, scary or a turnoff?
No, I think over the years, women have become, black women have become more open. Like, when I was in high school, you're talking about late 80s, early 90s. There's certain things women and sisters would not do. They just absolutely would not do. Over the course of a year, over the course of time, it seems like they're more open. I think, as far as men, I think we're open to do a lot of things except when it comes to being penetrated or beaten. Okay, or having our genitals stepped on by high heels.
So no dominatrix for you.
No, not, I mean, not if it's going to be a lot of pain and whips. I mean, come on. We shouldn't even want whips after the last ass whip we received. Excuse my friends that we're not supposed to cut. After that last whip we lashing, we shouldn't even want to be nowhere near a whip. So, I believe, from this is the conversation, and I've had conversations with brothers on this subject, which is, there's certain things that when it comes to being penetrated, no, they're not down for that at all. I agree. You know, I'm not going to do it. And as far as the population of Caucasian people, those who classify themselves as white, Gordon, they've always been open to doing all kinds of wild things. That goes back to even in their history. So it's no surprise that they were bi or they were homosexual. I mean, from my understanding, when reading their civilizations, they've always been that way. And then the funny thing is, after they came into our civilization, then all of a sudden we became open to it. So no wonder we're here and now we're doing the same things that they've been doing for many, many years because, well, hey, look where we're at and look who is the one saying, it's okay, go ahead and do it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's okay, guy. Hey, we all can get down. We all can get down. And then when you finish, and then when we all can get down, I can get with you and get down with you and get down in some deeper stuff. And you'll like it.
Look at him. Look at him.
I heard that then. We got another caller that want to comment. Caller, we definitely appreciate your comment.
Thank you.
Take that next caller.
Hey, thank you, man. I got it. Caller 240-604, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's going on?
Hi, this is Renee from Black Women Talk. How are you all this evening?
Hey, what's going on, sir?
How you doing, Nick?
Hey,
hi.
I'm good, thanks.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Enjoying the show. I wanted to comment. Jen asked a question about our men going to the other race because of our lack of inhibition. Is that the question?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think you answered it before you got a chance. But I think, no, I think some people are just colorblind and they just go with what they like. But I will say, I was in a book club a few years ago, and we were reading a book called Why Black Men Date White Women, which is actually a historical look at slavery and how everything came about. And one lady said that black men do it because white women give head. And all of the women in unison went, no, we don't. And I was in shock, because these were married women. They all said they didn't. And when I asked around the room, because I was obviously the lone person there, looking around like, we don't do that? The lady said they never been taught. So I'm wondering if that's part of it, that nobody really teaches you how to have sex. You just kind of fall into it and figure it out. But that was what the women said, is that nobody ever taught them, and they didn't seem to really be interested in learning. They felt like, well, I got them. He seems to be happy with me, whether I'm giving head or not. So why learn? Could that be a factor in it?
I don't know. It's interesting how you say we fall into it because, I mean, I know everybody remember their first sexual experience. It was, unless you had a very experienced person that you were dealing with, it was awkward, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know the people that got sucked into it.
Please.
Literally.
Where's that button? Kevin, please press the button.
Oh, I can't do it to him.
But, I mean, as we grow up, I mean, there's obviously videos you can watch and things like that, but I think if you're not inclined to do that, are you just kind of going along with the flow? And if nobody's teaching the person how to what they like, if you don't really know what you like and you're not teaching a person what you like, then you do have a lot of inhibition. You are inhibited in a lot of ways.
That's true. Because, like, you're exactly right. Whatever happened to the sexual education classes?
Well, they didn't teach you how to do it in sex ed.
Yeah, they didn't teach you how to do it.
They just taught you the effects of doing it.
And it's not
okay, but this is my thing about it. They have people that offer classes. Why don't people, like, I've seen it's been a lot of specials where they have people, specialists, who go and they offer classes, and they'll come to the house, and it'll be several housewives around, and they'll all have, you know, dildos and things, and they teach them how
to
properly.
To do that. But you have to want to do that. I mean, that's not.
They
want to
keep their
marriage. It's not like your mom sits down with you and says, "Okay, honey, I'm gonna show you how to fuck a dick." It's not. That's not happening. So, I mean,
oh, that's why daddy didn't divorce you.
Huh?
My daddy didn't divorce you.
I'm saying though, you think about it. Somebody did.
Saying,
if a woman,
does it happen?
I bet they ain't. They divorce rate is very low.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
It doesn't happen. And you have to want. I mean, I didn't know classes like that existed until I watched the Cat House on HBO. I had no idea somebody was running around town teaching.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And if you live in the southern area, if you live in Georgia, you know, hit us up at the Middleman, and I actually know someone who gives pure romance parties, and they will be willing to, you know, teach classes if you are interested and you are out there.
Jen, you just know everything, huh?
I see, yeah, really.
I'm not the teacher.
I'm about to say, let me find out you an instructor.
That's right.
Y'all are crazy. Hey, to all our callers out there, if you're listening to us on the internet, you can dial 718-508-9972. Press that number 1. To all our callers that are on the line and you were in the conversation, please press 1 again, because we see a lot of you guys still got your hands up. So to all the people that would like to get into this conversation, go ahead and press that number 1. We still have our web chat is blowing up over there. We do appreciate everybody that's taking the time to converse with everybody that's over there. Our man Dunn, Dove G, Miss Egypt, everybody. It's a good conversation going on. I still feel like we do get to the point where we repress everything. I think those classes that Jen is talking about is good. I don't think that men would sit around and have a class like that.
Why not? Well, if I am a woman and I'm willing to say, hey, I want to be open to learn things that please you so we can have new and fun experiences in our bedroom, why wouldn't you be willing to do the same?
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, you know why? Because men think they know everything about sex. That's why.
Fellas,
let's be real about it. We think we know everything about sex. We don't think we need help. We all think it's a woman that needs help. We think,
right.
Oh, we got this down pat.
We are forever blamed, aren't we, women, for everything?
Yes.
See, we get our boobs. That's what guys think. Guys think that, you know, we got it down pat, so, you know, we don't have to worry about it.
Well, I'm glad we're having shows like this, though. Guys out there, learn. You are not perfect most of the time. But, you know, like, most of the time, we don't even enjoy it sometimes. It's just, like, washing paint dry.
But do you know that most of the time, guys, we
class,
don't care?
Learn.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please do.
Yes.
Are you at least willing to learn from that woman what she likes?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
Well, exactly.
I'm just asking because some men aren't.
Right.
Sometimes you're trying to show a guy, you know, what you like, because whatever he's done with the other women that he's been with that had them screaming and hollering and they were probably faking it, they think that works on everybody. And so when they get to you and you're like, I don't like that touch, that tickles, that doesn't feel good, they're all of a sudden they're hurt because they feel like, well, this has worked with the other 99 women I was dealing with. Maybe, probably
because
not.
They lied because they wanted it to be over, so they hooped and hollered, so it would be over, but it's not doing it. And so it's up to us, girl, stop faking it.
Stop faking it. It's hurting all the women.
I mean, seriously, though, you know, there's only, to me, there's, like, if it's a one-night stand first type person, no. If it's a person that you're going to be with for a while, then maybe. If it's a person you're definitely going to be with, then, hell, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, most definitely.
I ain't finna just go out there and be, you know, trying to do everything with the cat, you know, just a woman I just met the last night. No.
Well, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody that you've been with for a while, but, you know, okay. it's a matter of are you willing to learn what makes her happy and to do it. And she might, you know, she might open up. If she feels safe with you, she'll probably become uninhibited. But if she doesn't feel safe or she doesn't feel like you're willing to learn who she is, then, you know, why bother? I mean, and Jen's right. It's like watching paint dry. You're like, okay, 15 more minutes. I go put the laundry in the dryer.
On the same
you're going
topic,
over
though,
your
on the
grocery list in your head.
On the same token, though, you got it's just like you just said. You got to think about this. You might think that y'all are at a level that he doesn't necessarily think that. You might think, oh, this is going towards a great relationship or something. And he's just like, no, I'm not even going to be here in the morning, so I don't care if you get yours or not. That's another thing. Like, you have to, you got to know what it is up front.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, because you sitting up there trying to, like, you know, you fronting and all that good stuff right there, you ain't going to get what you want, but I'm going to get what I want.
Right. You can hold back.
Wow.
I'm going to be gone in about an hour.
I'm not just saying this from the standpoint of people. This is the one night stand we're talking about right now. We're not talking about the one night stand.
No, we're talking about someone that you have committed to and that you're in a relationship with.
I'm just saying, keeping it truthful. Y'all say y'all ain't faking. We telling y'all the truth. You can hoop and holler all you want.
We're talking about a scenario where you're in a relationship. I'm not going to keep somebody that's only going to be there at night either. When we're talking about somebody that you're in a relationship with, are you willing to learn from her? That's a totally different situation.
Well, and we said that before on the show, that it is about learning new things together. It's not so much about, oh, I can do this. Or you. It's just learning together, because you're right. Everybody doesn't like everything. You know, what may have worked with one guy is not going to... You may have in your past run across a guy that wants you to slip a finger up his butt, but you're not going to get that over here, so... Don't do it.
Right.
Don't sneak up and do it. Same thing for you, fellas. You might have been with a girl that might have liked you to put your finger up her butt.
Yeah.
But you might get an elbow to your head if you try that with this one. You just, you know, you can't bust up and surprise people with that. It just don't work like that.
Well, Nick, when you think about it, man, you know, just like what we were talking about as far as the women, as far as, you know, guys going to other races or whatnot, now, you know the myth of, you know, certain European women and certain Asian women, what they would do sexually for a man that an African-American woman won't do. What do y'all feel about the myths that are out there? You know, you obviously both of you guys are black, you know, both of you women are black, but what do you guys think about the myth of other women out there as far as
that
they would do
more?
I think that people have to be very careful with stereotypes because... You know, like, you hear that all Asian guys have little things. But, you know, that's not true. And then you hear all white men, like oral sex. That's not true either. You know, so you have to, like, base it on individuals.
I agree with her.
And don't be saying I'm sleeping with Jackie Chan or anything like that. But I'm just saying it's not true.
We just saying.
Yeah, I think they want to get back in the conversation.
Yeah, we're about to bring this. Carla, we do appreciate you. And you want to plug your show?
It was Black Women Talk. We're on Sunday nights at 8, starting back up on May 1st.
Okay. Hey,
thank
you again for tuning in with us, okay?
Thanks.
And we're going to get over there. We definitely going to be with you, okay?
We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Hey, Marvel, what's going on?
I'm still laughing, but but you know what? Those are myths. Those are myths. I mean, I think we've been, I wasn't on the show, but I think we kind of touched on that on our show a couple of weeks ago about sexual myths and facts. I'm here to say it. I may get some backlash from it, but you know what? I have heard so many African American women say, you know, I don't go down. I don't touch it. They lying. They be lying.
Yep.
And the thing is, that's okay. That myth that has been stated about us, and it's so untrue. And that's why you hear why brothers go, you know, outside the race, whatever, because, you know, black girls don't do that. It's all about the individual. It's all about the person that you are with. If you're willing to take the time to find out about them and to learn more about them, and then the two of you learn together as far as your sexual relationship, come on. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Well, I got a little hot under the collar.
Woo! Over here just sweating nice.
And the arrow in the studio.
It's true. I mean, come on. The myths need to come to an end.
They do. They're myths. They
really,
are myths.
You know what? They're getting really old and they're getting really tired. And, you know, that's all they are, a myth. I believe, if anything, black men just afraid.
I think that a lot of black guys are afraid. If you go into the bedroom with your whip and your leather suit and your, you know, dildo, a lot of guys are going to get afraid.
You said black men are afraid
to be submissive.
We've been
because
the
they feel
not
so
sexy.
You said two things now. She said a whip and a dildo. I ain't got no problem with the leather suit.
Hell
nah. But a whip and a dildo?
Really? The thing is, why is it that so many black men are afraid to be submissive? They feel as though it affects their, you know, their manhood, you know, their sexuality. There's nothing wrong with a man being submissive. There's nothing wrong with letting your woman take charge once in a while.
Nah, you ain't finna beat me with no
you
courage.
You
ain't finna
whoop
no,
me.
No,
you trying.
I'm not related to Kente.
No, you ain't finna choke me. You ain't finna beat me.
I'm not finna
be whooping.
I'm not finna be putting no hands on. I've been to jail before. It's not. There's nothing sexy about that.
Don't knock it till you try it.
That's right.
I tried it in Cobb County when I got locked up. Handcuffs do not feel good.
Don't not. See, look, you don't have to, you know, scarves, anything. You know, you don't have to have handcuffs.
The key thing, the blindfold. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
Black men let you blindfold them?
No, I'm scared to let a lot of guys blindfold me. I'm scared
of
that.
They will rob the hell out of you, right?
Especially the guys out there.
They trust these folks nowadays.
Hell no. Oh, no.
So this must be the person that you're with.
Sir Sherry said,
you know them.
Hold on now. Sir Sherry said, you should be telling black men, taste her after a bath together. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of black men are afraid of oral sex. That's a myth, which I find is false. You know, but a lot of people encounter black men who do not like oral sex, and that's a great tip if you're a guy out there and you do not like to give oral to your girl. Take a bath together and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid.
All right, y'all. It's a great show.
You got so quiet. Like dead silence.
Yeah. Great right. show.
Listen, y'all, I'm going to go. Y'all,
okay.
This is an awesome topic. It really was. I really, really enjoyed it. It was a great show.
All right, Marva. Hey, Al, let them know what we went over today, and we're going to go directly into our talk of the town with our man, Nick Eaton. To everybody that's on the phone line, do not hang up. Everybody on the web chat, please keep your ears tuned in. Everybody that's on the internet listening, please keep listening. Go ahead, Al.
Right, that's right. If you're just now listening to the Middleman Talk Show, today we discussed the sexual inhibitions of black women. You know, we talk about the taboo aspect of it as far as culturally. Is it taboo for black people? Also, did this contribute to the teen pregnancy rates in black teens? Also, did the taboo create the sexual inhibitions for black people as well? And also, we discussed on the second part of the show, are black men straying away from black women due to their sexual inhibitions? And also, are they looking outside of their race to obtain what they need in the bedroom due to some black women's sexual inhibition? So we're going to go ahead and get into Talk of the Town with our man, Nick Eaton. I know he has something good for us this week. Today.
Ready. I'm ready.
You ready? This is our man, Nick Eaton. Talk of the Town, Blog Talk Radio, The Middleman. Here we go.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the Talk of the Town. Legendary hip-hop DJ Mr. C of New York's Hot 97 was allegedly arrested last week for engaging in a lewd act. According to the arrest record posted online, he was caught by police around 4 p.m. Wednesday afternoon receiving fellatio from a 20-year-old transvestite.
Like a San Francisco tree.
Gucci Mane.
God damn it!
Rapper Gucci Mane was arrested this week in Atlanta from an altercation that occurred on January 28th. According to the incident report, Gucci picked up a woman at South DeKalb Mall in his white Hummer after asking her if she wanted to go to breakfast. The 36-year-old alleged victim says that though she had never met Gucci Man before, she was familiar with him as an artist, so she agreed to go with him. After they began driving for a bit, she realized that he wasn't taking her to breakfast, so she asked him, "Where are we going?" He allegedly told her that he wanted to go to a hotel and that he had $150. The woman refused and told him, "Take me back to the mall, I can make my own money." Reportedly, while the vehicle was in motion, Gucci leaned over and opened the passenger door, then attempted to push her out of the Hummer. When he got off the highway onto the shoulder, he was able to push her out of the vehicle while it was still moving. The woman was later taken to an Atlanta medical center, where she was treated for soreness and pain.
Get out the way.
This is your man Nick Eden, and this is the Talk of the Town.
Wow.
Gucci Man push him out of the car.
I've been telling y'all for years that dude is slow. And y'all think I'm just joking. Like, no, he is really slow. There's something wrong with him.
Wow.
That's wild.
He could have gone on Fulton Industrial.
Yeah, exactly. $150.
And why did he assume she was a prostitute?
Because she probably was dressed like one, Jen.
See?
I'm not being funny. I don't think that's what happened. I think he pulled up. She was like, "Gucci," and then she got in the car, and they was there,
right.
And she was like, "I ain't gonna be more than 150." And he said, "Fur," and pushed out the car. I think that's what happened.
Wow.
So, hey, they need to throw him out on his lips down 20, doing about 80. Black lips, thumb him up.
I'm getting a message that we had a question from the web chat. I don't want to get off topic real quick, but they asked about masturbation.
Yeah,
and I think masturbation is normal, and I think that it helps you discover, you know, yourself sexually. So, like, if you're into that, it's totally cool. So go ahead and do it. Discover yourself.
Wow. And on that
And
one,
a lot of women
dude,
are, watch your hands a lot of women don't admit to masturbating, but they do.
Well, I guess they do, and I guess this is what we'll say to them.
Duh. Winning.
Yes. For sure.
Hey, man, great show. Everybody that's on the web chat over there, we do have a follow button. Click that follow button. We want more people to follow our show. We do have a page over on Facebook. It's the Middleman Talk Show. Go over there and click the like button. We want to try to get a lot of followers and tell a friend to tell a friend about us. And we do appreciate everybody for taking this Sunday and listen to the Middleman Talk Show. What's up, Al?
Sir. Hey, thanks for taking an hour out of your day. Well, hour and a half today.
Yeah, I had fun today.
Somebody walking out the door talking. Look at Nick.
Hey. I know.
Nick, don't be trying to get no intern down the hall.
Too late.
Hey, yeah. Talking about that, what you doing so late getting on the show, Mr. Superstar? Fashionable late?
Hey, look, man, I have rehearsal with my band. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody out there that listened to us. I had rehearsal with my band, and I was rushing to get out there, and as soon as I got out, I got to the studio, so I apologize for being late.
Well, this is dedicated to you, Mr. Lee. This is dedicated to you. Sad song. Just ain't gonna
play. Maybe kiss my ass twice.
Okay. This too then, buddy.
I can't stand that.
Hey, make sure y'all tune in next week. We got another show coming up this Thursday. Nick, do you want to let everybody know what you're talking about this Thursday on our entertainment show, Talk of the Town with Nick?
Yes. First off, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Last week when we talked about One Hit Wonders, we had a blast. This Thursday, we will be talking about crossover or the double cross. We're going to go back in the day, and we're going to talk to someone who can tell us about crossing over back in the day, how the white artists used to steal the black artists' songs, how the black artists used to have to put white people on the covers of the albums to get into the white stores. We're going to talk about all that. And we're going to talk about how that is still affecting the music business today. The crossover or the double cross? On the Talk of the Town with Nick Eden.
That's Sunday, y'all. 8 p.m. Eastern. Y'all make sure y'all tune in this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Hey, you got any final words, Jen?
No, like, you know, if I know a lot of people are still talking, so, you know, hit us up. Send us a message. Send us a message on Facebook. We'll
yeah,
answer
make sure
it.
You join Middlemen on Facebook. Like them.
Sir. I am? You didn't say
follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, man.
I got 100 followers. That's all I need.
No, you need... Follow me on Twitter. I need 50 more followers to get to 1,000, so I need everybody to follow me, at Nick Eden on Twitter.
Well, if I lose 4, I'm still good. Come on. Y'all tune in next week. Middleman Talk Show.
Yes, sir.
The middleman shouted, Beat Chris shouted. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middlemen.
You know y'all had me kind of worried when y'all was talking about them dildos, whips, and grease.
Oh, yeah, that's why we cut that off real quick.
You try it. Don't knock it till you try it.
Ain't nobody trying, man.
See, in
heaven. I'll knock you out if you try it. I'll knock you out if you try it.
Oh.
See, be open. That's what we talked about today. Be open.
But
and
your
hey,
head open.
If you still tune in and you live in the South, especially if you live in Georgia, hit me up on Facebook. I will get you connected to a wonderful instructor, and she can do a pure romance party for you. Lots of fun. I will come. I love them.
I bet you will. Be there first, man. Wait at the parking lot.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
You got this far listening to the show on our archives. We do thank you. Make sure you tune in again. Download all our other shows. We have other shows that are this impactful. Check out that Mr. Excitement versus Mr. Boy. I keep getting a lot of good words about that show, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Really great show.
We'll be back next week. We will be showing out next week to everybody that's listening. Make sure you tell a friend, tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell another friend, then tell that other friend about us. Then tell them to tell somebody else.
Sir, and if you want to advertise on the Middleman Talk Show, hit us up at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. Also, hit us up on Facebook on the Middleman Talk Show, or you can send us a private message as well. We'll definitely get to that. And let you advertise on the Middleman Show. We have a lot of followers or whatever. This is out.
Oh, yeah. Well, good night to all, and all a good night. I'm going to watch the Cleveland Show. I'm out.
Okay.